So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14. And I want to title this message this morning. And that is, Losing the Favor with God. Losing the favor with God. And it's going to be interesting, for the fact is, two guys are playing in this character. And like I said, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Now, both of these guys, before we even get to start, I want you to see, both of these guys were promised by God through a prophet. Jeroboam was told that he was going to divide all the kingdom of Israel, which was a northern portion of Israel, and he was going to send them with Jeroboam, and as long as he obeyed the word of the Lord, that he would be blessed, just like the rest of the house of David. That's what he was promised. But Rehoboam was also told through the prophet that Judah and Benjamin, the little tribes, they would stay there in Jerusalem. And he would be the ruler over there, just as he promised his father David. Also, he came with another thing. If you follow the ways of your father David. That's a key thing that we need to listen to, because God has potentials for every one of our lives. And the thing is always determined on how you want to follow God. Do you want to follow him your way, or do you want to follow him exactly as God does? If you do, then you will see God's favor happening. So let's start at 14 as we look at, as we come to Jeroboam and his deceptive ways. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please arise and disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who told me that I would be king over his people." Now, you have to realize, this guy is in so much false worship. He's looking at the prophet of God over there in Judah. He's looking at him just like these false prophets that are around him and are telling him all the good things he's doing in his false worship. Now, he knows that this man of God has a connection with God, but he does not want his wife to be recognized by anybody that he's asking for help other than what the help he's getting there. So he's trying to disguise his need. As I was looking at that, how many people come to church, or how many people are walking with God right now, and they're disguising their need, and yet if they would be willing and open to the Holy Spirit, like in service or whatever, and just allow those needs to come to the surface and allow God to touch those needs, instead of disguising, "Hey, I'm okay. Verse 3, "Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him, and he will tell you what will become of the child." Now, here's an interesting thing. He didn't ask for the prophet to come and heal his son. He just wanted to know what the future was going to hold. You know, so he's paying him for that wage, you know, just tell me the future of what's going to happen. But nothing to do with ask him if my son's going to be healed, or pray for my son to be healed. Because he was in so much wickedness, he trusted all these false worships, that everything became just like what he was worshiping. And that's not too unique. When people start going away from the Lord, they trust him just like they trust the world. The things that people trust the world, pretty soon they start using the things of God the same way. You know, "I'll trust God when everything else fails," you know. And that's what Jeroboam was doing here in this situation. Verse 4, "And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by the reason of his age." So he was at the age, almost like me, that's why I'm wearing glasses. But I think it was even worse. But he was old, real old, and he couldn't see. So if Jeroboam would have knew what the prophet was up to, he would have known that he was pretty well blind. You know, his eyes could not see. But this is what I love about the Lord. The Lord is going to speak to this man. He doesn't have to see. He's going to speak to him. Watch. "Now the Lord said to Ahijah, 'Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about her son, for he's sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman. So she could come in, but it doesn't matter because he can't see anyway. But he hears her footstep. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps that she came through the door. He said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Wow, what a shock, huh? Here she comes in pretending to be a peasant. And he says it right out of his mouth. Come on in, Jeroboam's wife. See, that's why it's not really good to try to fool God, okay? We can pretend that we're okay and everything's okay, but you know what? God will always reveal so that you can get to a place. Because you know what? He wants his people to be healed. He doesn't want his people to stay where they're at. And so God is speaking to this prophet to let her know, hey, don't come in here. I want to know everything that's going on with your family. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sounds of her footsteps, she came through the door, and he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Who? Verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you rulers over my people, and tore the kingdom away from you from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart to do only what is right in my eyes. Now here God saying, Jeroboam, I'm going to tell you right now, there was a potential in your life that I could have exalted you almost as famous as Solomon if you would have just kept my ways. You know, and he's telling through Jeroboam's wife. He goes, look it, yeah, I promised Jeroboam, but I told him that if he ever turned to the wicked ways, I'd cast him away just like I've done everybody else. And that's how God is. God's favor will always be with us. I want God's favor. Amen. You know, that's why I want to do what's right in his eyes. I want to do everything in my life and ask him for help. Because you know what? It's a hard, hard road without the favor of God. When God pulls his favor from you, then that's why I feel sorry for people that turn away from the Lord and they think they can find it out there, because it gets hard out there. It gets hard out. What brought us to God? Because it was too hard out there. You know, it was like gambling, you know. You throw the dice of life and it always seemed that we had the bad luck. But when you come to God and you start walking in his ways, even when you're not doing what you should, he's always able to lead and guide us. Amen. Verse 9, but you have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free, and I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuge until it's all gone. So now God is telling him what's going to happen to his son, but what's going to happen to his kingdom. It's done. God's basically telling Jeroboam, it's done. Verse 11, the dog shall eat whatever belongs, whosoever belongs to Jeroboam and die in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. Arise therefore and go to your own house, and when your feet enter the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave. Now look at this. Because in him there was found something good toward the Lord God of Israel and the house of Jeroboam. God is saying. Now, at first I thought there was a little boy or a baby, but he seems to be, I think he's a young man, he's young in age, but there was something in him that was better than all that Jeroboam had in that household. Yeah. And so the Bible says that God took him so he would not be influenced with the house of Jeroboam, and the curse that God is bringing on Jeroboam would not affect him. Wow. Now, I don't think those parents thought it was very good when the kid finally died. But when you're all full of evil, you don't think good of much of anything. But as we see this here, there's sometimes that God comes and he takes out a wickedness, and people wonder, why did that happen? There's a reason, and only God knows. God could see the beginning and the end. And he looked at this his son and said, I'm taking him. I don't want him to belong to the rest of that. Mm-hmm. Verse 14. Oh, you know, we passed to verse 6. Amen. Okay, we'll stop right there for a minute. I was supposed to go to verse 6. Okay.
Okay, baby.
I guess what we want to look at the first six verses, I want us to look at this one thing. And that is how Jeroboam tried to hide the fact of his need. And his need was, he needed to find out if his boy was going to die. But yet, he was doing so evil that going into where the people of God were, he wanted to disguise the fact through his wife and find out if he's going to die or he's not. Now, if it would have been my child, I would have been calling him over here to lay hands on him and to pray over him and to fast and to believe for a whole situation. Amen. Not just to find out what my future is going to be. But this is how corrupt Jeroboam got. And we see also that the gifts was, he brought a gift like a common man would bring, a poor man, you know, the substance of honey and that, instead of giving a royal treatment like a king has. And here we see that in all that, that God, by the time his wife got there, God revealed his intentions and what was going to happen as the result of his intentions. See, Jeroboam thought he got away with all that wickedness. He thought that God accepted what he was doing. But now God, we see, he's going to tear the whole house of Jeroboam, and there's no longer going to be the house of Jeroboam. Which brings us to this first point this morning. And that is, as we look at this, first point is this, disguising our real intent will be revealed by God. Disguising our real intent will be revealed by God.
Scary.
We have to be honest with God. For the fact is, God is everywhere. God sees everything. Amen. You know? We could disguise our intent with people, but you cannot do that with God. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Disguising our real intent will be revealed by God. And as we see Jeroboam, it's so likely with our walk with God. If we continue to hide the things that we do that are outside of God's will, he will reveal. And he will reveal it so that we can bring a place of repentance in our life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says, but there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear of the inner room will be proclaimed on the housetops.
Amen.
Wow. So, how are we supposed to be a Christian? We're supposed to be a Christian 24/7. 24/7. Whatever comes out of our mouth, it might not be accountable to the people we're speaking with, but before God and the tensions there. So when we come for our needs, we say, oh Lord, I need you to touch this situation. He goes, and he's touching us and saying, what about this situation? What about your heart? Where's your heart at today? And that's real important to God because he sees the intention of a heart, just like he did Jeroboam. He gave Jeroboam. He sent that little man of God, even though the man of God failed because he listened to a false prophet. But he sent him over there, and God was reaching for him to bring him back to him so that he would fulfill the potential that God called him to do. But you know what? He lost every potential because when that little man of God died, Jeroboam looked at, I don't think he was all that about God anyway. And he just discarded it. So he disguised his intent, but we see that it was revealed by God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let us get away with anything, Lord, but make us be honest before you. Okay, 7 through 20, and we see that it here, that the prophet is now going to tell Jeroboam, all the things that were going to happen to him. The prophet reminds Jeroboam of the promise that God gave to him in 1 Kings 11:29 through 35, that he would be king over Israel when it is divided. So what God is saying, hey, this is the potential that I have for you. You could have went all the way with it. You could have. That he was to be faithful always to follow the Lord, that he would have God's favor. But because Jeroboam did not follow the Lord faithfully, God's judgment would come to him and his kingship. The boy was to die. Why did the boy die? Did the boy die because he was as sinful as dad? No. The boy died because God seen something good in him. And he said, I'm calling him to myself. He found the favor of God. Because you're going to see in the next couple chapters, Jeroboam's house is going to be ripped from one side to the other. And it's not going to be by his own people. It's going to be by the outside people. You know, it's funny that Israel never, ever, ever got to a place to learn that if they did the evil, like when they came into the promised land, God used them to be the instrument to destroy all the land of Canaan because they were wicked people. They had so many things, wicked things going on. Can you imagine how God looks at when they're putting a newborn babies on a molded image with his arms out there and they, it roasts them until they curl up and fall into the pit of the fire? I just wonder how much of that God's looking at today in our country, in this world today, of the evil that's happening. I know a lot of people want to hear a feel-good gospel. I do too. But you know what? I do want to hear truth. And I want to hear if wicked things continue happening, nobody's filling the gap, that we could be scattered just like Israel was scattered. And just like Jeroboam's house is going to be scattered.
America's feeling it.
Also, we see that the Lord is going to use the king of Assyria to take Israel out of the promised land to another nation. We find this in 2 Kings 17:6. He's going to use Assyria. Assyria was out there. It's always been there. But all of a sudden, God uses it as an instrument. And they're going to come and he's going to take everything from Jeroboam. And he's going to take all the best choice people and take them over there. And he's going to put Israel in a land that's no longer the promised land. The favor of God to his people. And he's going to take them away. And they're going to be over there in Assyria under the bondage of Assyria. Until God sends another prophet in there to help them and to lead them, guide them out. Thank God. Thank God for the man of God that will hear from God and lead the people out of bondage and remorse of their sins and that, and get them to a place of repentance that they can make it right with God. And the last point is that the boy died just as God predicted. God predicted. Now, Jeroboam is not going to see his kingdom tore apart right away, but he will see it in the next couple of chapters. And we go by the chapters, but in a couple more years, he's going to see that come to pass. Remember what we learned? That the sentence of evil, when it doesn't come speedily, men's heart get wickeder and wickeder. Okay, so let's brings us to our second point this morning as we look at Jeroboam's lost potential. And that is how we should look at it. Point two is this. Lost potential happens when we detour from God's purpose. Lost potential happens when we detour from God's purpose. You know, God has a purpose for every one of us. And if we continue to follow the Lord and seek him, he will lead us. He will guide us. He will take us to those places that we didn't even imagine that we would get to. If somebody would have told me where I would be where I'm at today, and where I was many, many years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. But just continue to be faithful. Continue to hear from God. Our scripture reference will be Hebrews chapter 4 and 1. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 and 1. book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and 1.
Amen.
Okay. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Same with Jeroboam. Jeroboam must not really. He got so caught up in his own kingdom and his own way that he forgot the very promise God said. You'll have a kingdom if you remain faithful. If you don't remain faithful, you're not going to have a kingdom. But now, God has already put the judgment. You're done. It's over. Wow. And you know what's pretty unique too? Is that anyone can be replaced.
Amen.
Okay? If one individual fails God, God will find somebody else. I want God to be able to trust me, to look at me and say, yeah, he's faithful. I'll continue to lead and guide him to what I have for him. Okay, so let's look at, we looked at Jeroboam. So let's start at 21, verse 21. And we'll look at Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Well, let's go over here to, I think I stopped at 17, didn't I? But Jeroboam's wife arose and departed to Tirzah. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through his servant Ahijah. The rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, indeed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, so he rested with his fathers. Then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And Jeroboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of the tribe of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, a Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed more than their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, wooden images on every hill and on every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. Whoa. Now the old King James says there were sodomites in the land. And remember I told you that the goddess Astaroth, it was a goddess of sex and love. This is some of the idols that they had. And the women and the men would prostitute themselves through this ritual with the people. Oh man. You know what's so sad is this is the same people that God destroyed in the land of Canaan because they did these stuff. And yet Israel turns around and they begin to grasp a hold of these idols. Instead of going to the tabernacle and feeling the presence of God there, it's an ugly place for a believer to get to a place where they stop believing in God and they get to a place where they think the idols out there are a lot more rewarding. I think a person has to get to in their walk with them to begin to get more fleshly than spiritually, where they begin to look, their faith becomes through their eyes instead of the Spirit in God. And also the perverted persons in the land, they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So we see that these are the same habits that God destroyed. And it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Oh, remember all those gold shields? There was no warfare because Solomon had God's favor. It was peace all around. But he made these shields because he didn't know what else to do with all that gold that he had. So they were stored up in there, but the king of Egypt somehow heard it. And when he went in there, he took all the gold shields. Now look what Rehoboam does. Verse 27. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. He substituted for the gold because it wasn't that much gold like his dad had. Instead of fighting this king and holding on to what God had for him, because he was out of the will of God and he was doing those things that were bad toward the Lord, he didn't have that favor to believe God that God would give him victory over the king. And so what happens? He gets all the stuff out of the temples are stolen, and then the shields of gold, probably worth millions and millions of dollars. Instead, he just hands it all over to him, and he builds these new shields of bronze worth nothing. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, and then he brought them back into the guard room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all he did, are they not written in the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Nehemiah the Amoritess. Now notice that they had that two times, the Amoritess. Yeah. She was a foreign woman. She was not of the Jewish land. This is where I believe a lot of that false worship might have came in there. She influenced her son. You know, hey, your grandfather Solomon, he loved the things that my people had, you know. But I noticed that they put it two times to let us know that there must have been something to do with this mother. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. So what we see is the son of Solomon and Nehemiah, a foreigner that created the false worship in there. But what I want us to really see most of all is that Rehoboam never got to a place to have that faith in the Lord God Jehovah. He put his trust in everything besides God. And what happens? He began to put in his trust a substitute. That brings us to our last point. It's a good point for us to remember. Because when we fail to walk in God's ways, that's what's going to happen in our lives also. Mm-hmm. Point three is this. When we put our trust in anything besides God, we will replace it with a substitute. When we put our trust in anything besides God and His purpose and His potential for us, we will replace it with a substitute. What do I mean by that? If I don't trust God, then I'm going to trust in something. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good result. But if I put my trust in God, no matter how bad things get, I will still see the favor of God. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5.
Can you read that again?
When we put our trust in anything besides God, we will replace it with a substitute. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting with verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting with verse 5, says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength." Now, you might say, oh, I would never do that. Yeah, if you don't trust in God, you're going to put your flesh is going to become your God, your false idol. "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in salt land which is not inhabited." What a good analogy that is. A salt land which is not inhabited, because nothing lives in salt. You know, you throw salt there, it kills everything. Grass.
Salt and sea.
Yeah, salt and sea, where everything in there, but the fish are still living, but anything else is dead. But it shows us, Jeremiah, through the Lord, shows us that when we put our trust in anything other than God, it's automatic it's going to happen. We're going to substitute it with another security. And God says, trust me. Because you want to see when good comes. You know why we can see when good comes now? Because as we walk with the Lord, He reveals those things to us. You know, and we get to see, no matter how bad a situation may come, He always gives an enlightenment that, hey, the answer's coming and you'll see better times. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning for this lesson that you brought to us. Lord, we pray that we never lose your favor in our lives. We need you. We trust you. We don't know any other means, Lord, since coming to you. Help us to remember what we studied this morning. Help us, God, and we ask you to forgive us of all our sins, God, that may hinder you and your favor from walking and directing us. We ask you to cleanse us afresh through your blood, Lord Jesus, that we may walk in your favor. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.